Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Hello, I'm Rob Beckett.
And I'm Josh Widdicombe.
Welcome to Parenting Hell, the show in which Josh and I discuss what it's really like to be a parent, which I would say can be a little tricky.
So, to make ourselves, and hopefully you, feel better about the trials and tribulations of modern-day parenting, each week we'll be chatting to a famous parent about how they're coping.
Or hopefully how they're not coping.
And we'll also be hearing from you, the listener, with your tips, advice and, of course, tales of parenting woe.
Because let's be honest, there are plenty of times when none of us know what we're doing. Hello, you're listening to Parenting Hell with...
Josh, can you say Rob Beckett?
Rob Beckett!
And can you say... That's it, Rob Beckett? Oh, and can you say Josh Widdicombe?
There we go.
Hi. You love a there we go.
I do, don't I?
You do. You have a certain little... For somebody who studied linguistics, you have a certain few little phrases you use a lot.
I know. I do fall back on the same kind of tropes, don't I? Hi, sexy Rob, sexy Josh and sexy Michael.
Yes, please.
This is my very excited two-year-old, Joshy. We live in Newbury with my 7-year-old Oliver, 4-year-old Sophie and husband Steve. I was born in...
Oh, am I guessing?
No. Essex. And I have an Essex twang, which someone once confused for being Australian. I absolutely love the podcast and have got my mum friends to listen to. I was a bit behind in episodes, so to catch up, I would listen at increased speed.
Oh.
Which was entertaining, especially when Josh had taken the sleeping pills. I think you're influenced as well, as I bought a puddle jumper for our holidays. Thank you for being so relatable. Hayley, aged 504 months. There we go. About 40,
I was thinking that everyone keeps asking about them puddle jumper things for holiday, and they are really good. But I was thinking, well, maybe we should bring out our own puddle jumper merch. And I thought, oh, no, fuck that. Imagine the safety guidelines.
Oh, mate.
Of us just knocking out and the kids fucking struggling in a pool.
Oh, my God.
Oh, well, it's not worth the hassle, is it?
Imagine having to put out the statement, hello and welcome to Parenting Hell. If you have bought a puddle jumper, please do not use it. We will give you your money back.
Yeah. Unfortunately, there was a translation error with the Chinese factory. And when we wanted loose neck written on them, they put on a loose strap. We're very sorry about this. But please dispose of them or send them back to us. So let's leave that. Leave that as merch.
Also, we are going up to 7 episodes a week in an attempt to make back the money we lost on the puddle jumpers.
And if you could all please send the link to this podcast to any family or parenting WhatsApp group to increase numbers, we could do with your support at this difficult time. Because not only have we got no money now, we are having to pay back $300 billion in compensation. How are you, Josh?
I'm all right, yeah.
It's Friday, Josh.
It's Friday. It's guest day.
Thursday, Friday, what? It's Friday. Do you know that one with the man dancing out the car?
No.
How do you not know things?
How do I not know things?
What do you fill your day with if you're not scrolling on Instagram or TikTok?
Well, what do I fill my day with?
Yeah, do you read coffee?
Do I sit and think? No, I parent or...
My parent.
Are you parent? Or if I'm looking at my phone, WhatsApp groups, I'm big on a WhatsApp group.
Yeah, you've got a lot of them, haven't you? That's a lot of admin
and
for
I
you.
Like,
that's your
I
main
like
social media.
I like to be
media.
A big name on a WhatsApp group. You know, I like to be leading the chat.
You are, I'd say, in all the WhatsApp groups I'm in with you, you're bringing the dinner to share. You're bringing the screen grab of Twitter of someone being
what
weird.
I like to do, get a screen grab from another WhatsApp group, move it to another WhatsApp group and make myself the central cog of that WhatsApp group.
You're like a drug dealer that's cutting it all up with paracetamols and sending it round.
Exactly.
I know what you're up to.
Yeah.
Good. Well, Josh, I've got a few boomer stories
for us
before we bring in our guest.
Go on.
Here we go. Hi, you sexy tarts, Rob and Josh.
Yeah, thank you.
Should that be called
much.
A tart?
Yeah, I don't mind it.
Quite like. That's from Megan. My best friend, born in 1987, was so excited when her first tooth was taken by the tooth fairy that the next time she lost a tooth, she wrote a lovely little note to go under the pillow with it. The note thanked the tooth fairy for working so hard collecting all the children's teeth. It's very cute, isn't it? Yeah. And asked her what she looked like. In response, her boomer dad drew a horrifying, scratchy black biro sketch of an insect-like creature with bulging eyes.
Oh, my God.
Bulging eyes like a fly, huge fangs sticking out of its mouth, and big hairy wings.
Fuck off.
She found it under a pillow the next morning and was obviously completely terrified to ever lose another tooth.
Oh, my
God. Completely refusing to wobble them when they were wobbling. She even hid ones that fell out, thinking the creature would return when she was asleep.
Oh, my word, that is brutal.
Her dad found it hilarious and still laughs about it now when we bring it up. Classic boomers, Megan. That
oh,
is horrible.
Wow, that's incredible, isn't it?
I reckon that dad still thinks that's fine.
Yeah, I mean, because you can't back down. You can't say it was me. There's no way of getting out of her believing that without her finding something else out.
Still finding it funny. Or he could have done another one, just saying, only joking, and then like a pretty little fairy.
Oh, I've just heard our Ricardo arrive, Rob.
Ooh. Okay, well, one more and you can unpack it before
no,
we
no,
guest.
No, 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 I was going to say, can you spin this out a bit so Rosa does all the unpacking?
Anyway, so boomer schooling, this is called, Josh.
Yep.
Back in primary school, around 9 or 10, the whole school gathered in the hall. We had no idea what was happening. As we all sat down, all the teachers gathered at the front of the hall and began to tell us that the world was about to be attacked by aliens.
What?
And it was going, and the world was going to end and we would all die.
Fuck off.
We were to collect our younger siblings and go straight home where we would be met with our parents to prepare for the worst.
No.
This is 9 or 10. As you can imagine, we were all beside ourselves. Children were sobbing everywhere. Kids immediately ran out to find their brothers and sisters. Some kids ran home immediately. It went into bedlam. After a few minutes, they quieted everyone down and got all the kids back and explained, we were only joking.
What?
Now we want you to all go away and write about how that made you feel.
Whoa! Write to who? Childline?
That's a primary school teacher. I can only imagine the Daily Mail headlines nowadays.
Oh,
but
wow.
Seriously, what a bonkers way to get children to
That's
write.
Incredible.
Keep
that
up the good
incredible.
Work. Many thanks. Charlotte, but with an S instead of a C.
Oh, that is incredible. That is so terrifying. That's one of my favourite boomer stories we've had.
It's a good one, isn't it?
How would you have reacted in that situation?
I'd have been petrified. I'd have burst into tears immediately and then probably not written anything and went home. Sad.
Yeah.
Like most children would react, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
Mental
exactly.
thing to do. Got a guest on today, Josh Pugh. Great interview. Great guy.
Great
Enjoy.
Guy. Great, yeah. Just, do you know what?
Very funny man.
What we're going to do, I'm not going to give it any intro and say what happened during it because between me and you, this was recorded first.
Stop ruining the illusion, Josh.
Sorry.
Basically, I think it will be funny.
Yeah. We can't tell you if this is good.
It will be, though. Or
it will be, though.
Work it out on the length of the episode. Do your own maths. Right.
That's how I work out if our Tuesday ones have been good. The heartbreak when I see 36 minutes.
What Michael's had to do with that turd he's polished. Right, anyway, enjoy Josh Pugh and we'll see you on Tuesday.
Hello, Josh Pugh, how are you?
I'm very well, Josh Widdicombe, how are you?
Good, it's quite confusing, isn't it? Because I don't often meet other Joshes.
Yeah, but with two of us, we should know. You know, if I'm addressing you...
Yeah.
You,
I think I'm going to have the bigger problem.
Yeah. In many ways, we're fine. Yeah, that's a good point. What's your family setup, Josh? Just to give people a picture at home.
So it's at home, it's me, my wife, and my baby boy, who is 6 months, nearly 7 months.
Oh.
6 months. So I'm fresh.
You're fresh. You enjoy it?
The opposite of fresh. Fresh to parenting.
Yeah.
Physically not massively fresh. He's stopped sleeping the last 2 weeks.
Oh, so you nailed it and now it's not nailed?
Is it the regression stage? Is that it?
Yeah,
yes, they have that regression.
It's tricky. He's going to do a maximum 45 minutes a go at the minute.
Oh, my God, Josh.
Fucking God. How are you dealing with that?
Yeah, it's tricky, but then he'll just sleep all day.
Not ideal.
Yeah, he's...
I think your problem is he's sleeping all day there, mate.
Well, it's kind of cause and effect, isn't it? I went swimming with him yesterday. He fell asleep in the pool. I was like, you've got this. Yeah.
Did he just sink or did he float? How does that work at that point?
Yeah, the swimming's great. I don't know if you took yours when they were little, but the swimming, it's magic. They're just kind of floating about and doing songs. It's agony on the lower back. As quite a tall guy, you kind of...
So have you not got a float for him then, or is you just holding him?
So you're just holding him, yeah. It's just about getting the coach ball.
You need a float, mate. You need the float. I've got a float for you. How are you coping, though? That's the issue at the moment for you, isn't it, the sleep?
It's all right, mate, but I can't moan because my wife's doing more. That what's actually bothering me is not being able to moan about not sleeping.
So is she working or not working and looking after? What's the setup?
How much? She's off, but he's breastfed. There's only so much I can do in the night. So she's doing the majority of the night stuff.
And do you feel, because I used to feel like there's only so much I can do, but I still feel I should show my face. Do you know what I mean? Like
I'll kind of sit up. Well, it's kind of in my interest to wake up as well, because she's linked to my Amazon and she's in that period where, you know, you're just middle of the night just searching for answers.
Yeah.
And if I'm not there during that, I'll just wake up to email saying thanks for your order, and it's just different stuff from Amazon she's trying to solve the situation with.
What have you had on the list? What's come through as the solve?
Different like swaddle stuff, nasal things, like plugins.
Of the thing you blow in their nose to get rid of snot?
Just everything. Just
have you done that one? You suck, don't you? You suck the snot out.
Yeah, I did actually try it manually as well. Yeah, it's horrible.
Did you get it out?
Tiniest bit, not worth it.
So at night, what are you doing? You're waking up just to kind of make sure she doesn't buy stuff off Amazon.
So he kind of goes down second break of Love Island.
Yeah.
He gets taken up, and then the last 30 minutes of Love Island, he's kind of like stirring, so we're up and down to him. I think he likes the colours and the stings on Love Island.
Yeah. Dum 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 dum. That all that.
What time is... Sorry to be this guy. What time?
Fucking loosen your neck, you stiff fucking idiot. Fuck me. You don't watch Love Island? What are you watching? No wonder you're miserable.
What?
Come on. Look, you've got to watch Love Island. Watch other people that are having a worse time than you. Makes you happy. That's how it works.
I don't want to watch Michael Owen's daughter. So it's on at 9, right? So he's going down about 9:30.
So weirdly, actually, he goes down at the same time as the contestants go to bed, because that's kind of halfway through the episode as well. So he's like in bed, like infrared, watching him on infrared. Then we're watching like the contestants on infrared having chats. But then he's up by the end of it, and we're kind of, it's hard. We've literally tried everything, and it's kind of so hard not to have him. I'll just put him in the bed. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's tough.
Are you tempted?
Yeah. Well, I think after we've done it like 10 times in the night, by the 11th time, I'm thinking, if he's not, just have him in with us. Do you know what I mean? Right. If he's not done it the first 10 times, what is it about this time which is going to make him?
Yeah.
It's hard. It's really hard.
Oh, have you had a sleep trainer come in?
No. What is that?
You say you tried everything. This is the key.
You've not even tried Love Island, Josh. Come on, we're all learning.
So this is the key, Josh. They can give you advice on what you should be doing. Because this is how I learnt that I shouldn't be getting up at 4:30 with my son to watch the Paralympics. That was an error. She was like, you can't be doing that. And I've been doing it.
Watch the main one. Don't watch that. She's really sort of big gammon woman on the phone. Don't be watching that.
Can you ring her? Is she like a 24/7 thing where you can ring her in the morning being like, what the fuck
was that?
you speak to him. You tell him to go down because he ain't listening to me.
I mean, I'm not saying it's a foolproof idea. I'm just saying...
It worked for
you. Said you've tried everything. You've tried sucking on his nose, but you haven't tried getting advice from someone who knows about child sleep.
They're very much the actions of a sleep-deprived man, Josh Pugh.
We've got this owl. It's called... it's like a sensor. So if he stirs, it sets off white noise, which is right next to him.
Yeah,
and wakes him up. Settle him again, yeah. But what keeps happening, a couple of times I've farted, it set the owl off, and then that's woke him up.
Yeah. So is he still in the cot in your room? at this stage? Because it's about 6-7 months you move him into another room, isn't it?
Yeah, but he was in his own room, which my wife insisted on that needed to be finished and decorated before he was born.
Yeah.
So he was in there for about a week, and now he's back in the next week just because it's easier than keep getting up and trying to settle him again.
Oh, so it's 1 week in his own room. And is that, do you think it's that fucked it?
I don't know. What worked was he used to be swaddled, which he really liked, and he slept fantastic with that. But now he can roll, and you can't swaddle him. So he's kind of it's like his arms are waking him up. It's a really,
I shouldn't be laughing, but it is an awful time in your life.
This is the first time you've been smug on a record for ages, Josh, because you've got a one-year-old.
It's just taken me back, because I'll be honest with you, this was my life. And now I've just realised that I'm kind of through this bit. And I'm the kind of idiot that's giving advice to people who are within this bit.
It's like Josh Mark Pugh.
Yeah.
Do you like that pun? That's a good pun or not?
That's really good. You know what? Really nice.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
But he wants to be asleep. He's not waking up, you know, like you're saying, getting up at 4:30 with him.
Yeah.
He wants to be asleep. He doesn't want to get up.
Yeah.
He just wants to be held and...
Have you considered... just holding him all night?
Well, my wife has pretty much done that a couple of times.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
It's like,
oh my God.
So how are you, like, you're not as much up in the night as much, but like, this is quite a tough time for you in your career at this stage, because I think you're probably having a kid about the same time as I had my kid, and you're really coming through at the moment, and like, you know, you're destined to be, you know, a household name, it feels like. From, you notice it when you talk to people, everyone goes, oh yeah, Josh Pugh's really good, or you hear, like, before, I've not even seen you live yet, but you hear people talking about you. So you're at that point now, you're getting 1,000 different offers to do these different things, but you can't really say no to anything. Anything yet, because you're establishing yourself, and you've got to make sure you've got your foot kept in the circuit, so you don't look like you've gone too big time. You've got to make sure your Edinburgh show is really good, but also these TV jobs keep coming in, either writing or appearing on it, so you're doing about 15 different jobs at once, and you've got to say yes to everything. How are you coping to squeeze all that in and still be there to do the baby stuff?
I think I'm having an anxiety attack.
that is like how my brain is going. And then on top of that, you've got to also like be creative and funny. It's one thing doing the jobs, you know.
Mm. Yeah.
But at the same time, it's a blessing to have him and stuff. But at the same time,
we'll edit that bit out, Josh.
No, we know that. We take that as read. But yeah, it's a difficult time for you from a career point of view, because this is sort of the busiest you'll ever be, kind of thing. As you're on the way up.
But yeah, it is. It's busy, man. It's busy, and it's... But what can you do? You can't... I'm up for just letting him cry a bit, but my wife's not into... She's not into...
Well, we had to do Cry Out in the end. We didn't want to do Cry Out at all. It was quite against it. We had to in the end because nothing else worked.
Yeah.
And
we're
it worked. And,
towards
and
that,
it,
I think.
Yeah, and it was horrible for like a week or so. But then afterwards, it was nice. It, actually, the long term is your child sleeps longer and better, because they just get used to it, and they're not, because he's not having a great time. If he's fallen asleep in the swimming pool, he's not having a relaxed night as it is. So it's not like he's waking up loving life after all this, being awake all night. So it might be worth a go, but we were like, you know, that was one thing that me and Lou said we'd never do. And then obviously, before you know it, you're in there. Like me at Ocean Beach last week. Refused to ever go back there. I was in there a day later. So what I've learned about life is it's quite good to not have opinions or principles and just sort of accept your fate.
But it's mad how you hold these. I know we'll have the same thing with like tablets and iPads. Like at the minute, we're dead against it. But I know when they get to a certain age, we're just dying. We could be able to get on this.
Absolutely coming. Do you? And you've been on holiday with him, haven't you?
Yeah, we have. Yeah, we went to Tenerife a couple of weeks ago. That was good. He's at an age where you can just park him in the sun. Not in the sun. That's the opposite way.
No wonder he's not sleeping, poor fucking little red bastard. Burnt arms.
Just stick him in the shade, and you can I mean, I got through three books, which that tells you how much parenting I was doing.
Honestly, me and Lou did that. We went to Copenhagen with a six-month-old, and it was brilliant because they're just in the buggy. They can't walk. Yeah. They don't want to walk. You just push them around, and then you sit in the sun, sit on the beach, sit by the pool, and they're happy in the buggy, being fed and sleeping.
Yeah, that it's great.
Incredible.
So it's a good time to go. I'd say 6 months.
And you kind of, when you've got a young, but you kind of let people let you in front of them in the queues. It's quite. Yeah. And I'm all up for exploiting that as much as possible. Do you know what I mean? It's a good age to go away with them.
Yeah, and what I would say is, though, Josh, you probably won't be able to enjoy a holiday until they're four now.
Yeah.
So you've had that. But just remember that next time you try and go away, that 4 years of age is probably the next point that you'll be able to enjoy it. But I don't want to bring you down anymore.
No. Did anything? Surely something bad happened on the holiday, didn't it? Come on. Tell me this. Because I was enjoying, you know, your bad sleep. But now, after quite an intense holiday, I'm feeling like I don't need this thrown in my face.
No, it's all good. You know what gets me? I hate carrying stuff. I hate holding things. And when you've got a baby, you've constantly got your hands full, I struggle with that a little bit, which is such a.
Are you normally just a phone and wallet and keys guy out the door?
Yeah, totally. That's it. I never used to have a school bag. I didn't take a bag to school.
You didn't take a bag to school?
I used to put my books in other people's bags.
That's why you're so quick at reading. Fuck carrying them, eh?
Yeah. I was just, taking real liberties, actually. But just kind of, I don't want to carry stuff.
So wait, you didn't have a school bag? You just deposit your books in other people's bags? Who, what, were going to be in that list?
Yeah, I used to have a pen in my pocket.
Yeah,
I'd have the odd booklet I'd just roll up and put in my pocket, but then most of them would just be in other people's bags and just give them me when we get in there.
What was your issue with school bags?
Just didn't want to carry anything, Josh. You didn't want to.
But Josh loved a fucking bag, didn't you? Little protractor in there. Not even got maths that day.
I had a bag with a file of facts in. Fuck it, why not? Let's enjoy ourselves.
One of them pull along ones on there, like come the apprentice.
Little wheelie laptop case. But there was nothing bad happened on the holiday at all, Josh. It was all fine. The flight, okay. 4-hour flight, it's hard work, Tenerife.
Yeah, I underestimated the flight. That was okay. We were delayed on the way back, but he didn't poo. Actually, this was a problem. He didn't poo for a week leading up to it.
Oh, no.
And then he just flight?
I don't think he was nervous about the flight. I think it was just a coincidental thing.
Yeah.
And then we got on the outbound flight and he just loosened right up.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and he was...
awful one.
Yeah, he was cutting loose.
I think that's a good thing, though, because I found when I was taking my son to Greece, that taking them to change them gave me something to do with him on the flight. Do you know what I mean? Because you're desperate for activities.
Yeah, totally.
I definitely... That is a low moment in your life, isn't it, when you're considering...
I mean, I'm a man that's got kids. A childless person listening to this must think you're fucking insane. Isn't it good when the little gremlin you're holding shits itself because it's clearing its shit out of its ass on a plane gives me something to do?
And that's under the banner of activities.
Wouldn't want to be on a stag do you're leading, Josh. Okay, so we're going to go to the local old people's home and wipe some arses for an hour. And then off we go out for a drink.
Didn't need to be the old people's home, Rob. That's made the whole thing too graphic.
Well, it's better than going to random children's and wiping their arses.
Yeah, I suppose it is. I suppose. Also, the changing table in the plane is so small. It's incredibly difficult as well. It's an untenable situation, but I enjoyed the challenge. It's 5 minutes when they're shouting at you, and you can't see people pissed off because you're on your own.
Yeah, you're kind of in like a Mr. and Mrs. kind of like soundproof room doing it.
Exactly.
I get a bit worried though that there's going to be turbulence at the point where I'm not holding the baby, and the baby fucking launches in the air, and you have to try and catch it like a falling from a building.
How's the relationship? Not to go too deep, but has it affected your relationship with your wife? Like, because you're both very tired. How are you dealing with it?
We're good. I think what the struggle is kind of he'll really be into her for a bit, and then he'll really be into me for a bit, and it's about the other one dealing with that a little bit. Do you know what I mean? When he only, like, it's quite. I'm actually quite relieved when he only wants Lucinda. Oh, it's only Luke and Settling today, so I can't really get involved.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's nothing, nothing better than that, is there? And they'll get to the age, I know this is bad, where they'll wake up in the night and they'll call for one of you. And when it's not you, you have to just go, I'm sorry about this, but it's not my priority. If I go in, if anything, it'll make things worse.
Yeah.
And is she due to go back to work, Josh, or is she off now, or is she on maternity?
So she works in a school. She's a teaching assistant. She's going back in December.
Right.
But you kind of imagine going back to work as he is now, but obviously he'll be another 6 months older. So
yeah.
You can't really imagine what it'd be. And that'll be a different challenge. So I had to go on a hen do the other week.
You what? Sorry?
So because he's breastfed, right? He won't drink out of a bottle yet.
Yeah.
So she went on this hen do. I had to go kind of adjacent to the hen do. Like somebody swims a channel and have that support boat next to them.
Yeah.
I was kind of one cafe behind where this hen do were going. And she kept having to
So did she nip to you or did you go to the hen?
So I went in once during the brunch and I thought, this is too much.
Excuse me, getting out of the way of inflatable cocks. Can we have a bit of milk for this one, please?
But was in the buff out the way, lads. I'm trying to get through it.
Was you tempted to put a little cock straw on her nipple?
So that was his first hand.
Is that too laddy? Was that too much? No, I didn't know where the line is.
I think that's
right. Okay. So I was kind of just like in cafes, but obviously cafes shut quite early. So I'm like in a restaurant there.
How many breastfeeding visits were there in total?
So this was the thing, it was actually fine. We actually could have stayed at home. But it was more for to reassure her, really. Yeah. I'm not making her sound like a mad anxious.
But with your first kid and it's a hen do, you want to, you'd rather sit, you'd rather be, essentially be homeless for the day with a child wandering around Leicester than to put your wife's mind at rest.
The only other time she'd left him, we got tickets to see Bastille in Birmingham.
Yeah.
And we didn't even get into the gig because we had a call from the in-laws. He was wailing and wasn't stepping in. So, we'd argued before we got out.
Oh, no.
We're both stressed about going and let's leave it. It's like, no, come on, let me get there. And it was just...
Then you remember you've got to watch Bastille.
Yeah.
There was quite a relief when you left in a way.
didn't even make it. We're literally queuing up to be like searched. And the phone went and it was like saved at the last minute.
Are you touring or are you going to Edinburgh? What's your year looking like as a comedian?
I'm going to Edinburgh in August, which will be another thing. I think they're going to come for a couple of days. And I've got...
So you're there for a month?
Doing the month. And
you didn't consider the take the family for the month?
I looked at it and to be honest, they don't like it. And I don't really like them being there. It's a weird energy in it when you're kind of...
Yeah.
I'm not myself.
I'm not a massive fan.
No.
I've got a mate come to stay with me first weekend and I'm like, I'm not really, just do your own thing a bit.
Yeah.
But we looked at it, but I'm also going to go home in the middle. I've got 2 days off in the middle. I'm going to come back.
Oh, nice. It's like 2 weeks, 2 days at home, 2 weeks again, basically.
Yeah, that's it.
And so what's going to happen in December? Have you got childcare? Is it going to be your in-laws or are going to go to a nursery? Or what's your plan?
So we've got two... So her family are very helpful. Not that my family aren't, but they're very... they're like uber helpful.
Uber. You're making it sound worse now, Josh.
They're like super helpful. Do you know what I mean?
Really helpful.
Yeah, they're almost to the point it's intrusive helpful.
Oh, okay. You know? So now you've pissed them both off. Fair enough. Yeah. So your family don't do anything. Her family does too much. Okay.
So, yeah, after this, I think I'll be having him. So yeah, he'll kind of work it out between us. And also my granddad's dead good with kids. He's like 80.
I tell you what, that sentence cheered up halfway through. I was thinking, I don't know if we need this detail.
My granddad's dead, so my nan will have a lot of spare time on her own.
But he'll take him on walks and that. And he's,
Yeah.
That's the real key. If you've got family and friends around you, it massively helps. Especially, that's how me and Lou did it. I was away so much and I don't think I've really realised how much sort of pressure I put Lou under, really. But if you've got family and friends around that help, it makes a huge difference.
And I think you've got to use them like a manager uses their players.
Yeah, squad rotation. Yeah,
yeah. Don't exhaust your star. You know, save them for a big, big midweek. Yeah. You've got a big Saturday fixture coming up again, in Leicester.
And then getting the sort the slightly less ones for the Carabao Cup. You know, the sort of League Cup. Yeah. If it's not
Couple of hours midweek, chuck them to your arse midweek. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Indoors for the big ones.
Yeah. Barcelona away, Champions League semi-final. Yeah, we're going to need this.
So, that'll help out and stuff. And, it's great.
How was the pregnancy and the birth for you?
Yeah, annoyingly. So she was annoyingly fit and active all the way through the pregnancy, to the point where the gym said to her, like, stop coming now to the classes. You're too far gone. Wow. Which then makes, you know, if I'm a bit lazy or slobby one day, it kind of reflected awfully on me.
Imagine the gym saying, stop coming, you're too fit. Rob, you're too ripped. Just stay at home for a bit. Fuck it, you're making everyone feel bad. Your body's so great.
We're going to have to buy bigger machines, Rob, if you keep
imagine that humble brag on Instagram. Well, I'm absolutely livid. I pay good money to come here, and now apparently my body's too good and I shouldn't be here anymore because I'm so physically fit. It makes me feel sick, but I'm not going to be sick because I'm so physically fit.
So she was like, she was really good, and then kind of the birth, she was I was basically just massaging her for like 6 hours straight, just massage, like just my
like
fist
wag, in, like wagyu,
yeah, just like my fist in at the small of her back, just like grinding, like trying to, it's graft, and the room is so hot.
Josh, you can't say it's graft.
But I've got a slight disc issue which none of the midwives seem to take into. Look, I get, like, short-term, she's in agony, short-term. If you put a disc out, that, you're talking years of rehab there.
And you won't be able to help with the baby down the line.
This is what I was saying. But she was, the birth was... It's actually an amazing experience. I kind of, I was like a corner man for a boxer. Like, between contractions, I was kind of, like, giving her a drink, like, kind of... mopping her brow, giving her a bit of pep talk, and sending her back out there. Do you know what I mean?
to be absolutely pummeled.
Yeah, you're blowing it, kid. We had a trainee midwife in with us as well.
Mm. Oh, I'm always suspicious of that. Give me a proper one. Don't use my kid for the learning.
But she was just like a photographer. Because she was so new, we're just
We had one of them. We had some, and she just got given my phone, and she just took loads and loads of photos that, to be honest, were too graphic.
Oh God! Yeah, some of the memories have been popping up on my widgets.
Yeah,
and some of them are alive. If you go back, the pictures are, you know, those live pictures.
Oh no.
Oh my god!
Yeah, it's mad, but it was a great experience, and we had but then the doctor comes in, so the midwife's there, kind of all about the mum and what the mum wants, and a big part as the man, you're kind of like or what the birthing partner, you're kind of advocating, you know what the good person giving birth wants, so you're advocating a bit. But then the doctor just comes in, and they're like just medical, like no, do this now, and it's kind of like it's a strange. I'm negotiating with this doctor. He wanted to do an episiotomy.
What's that?
So that's when you kind of cut the vagina.
Sorry.
That's immature, isn't it?
Yeah.
So we're laughing at that.
That's bad. You just said vagina. Sorry.
How did you negotiate with it, Josh? What were you saying at this stage?
Surely that's not Josh's decision, though, is it?
Yeah.
It's not my decision, but...
Why is he asking you?
Yeah, so they're in the throes of battle, aren't they? They're kind of like, and right. I know she didn't want that at this point, so I've got to say to this doctor,
no, I don't think anyone wants it.
Leave it out. Do you know what I mean?
Leave it out. And did he leave it out?
He left it out for a bit, yeah. And then they did have to. He was turned out he did know better in the end. But good on her. She had a say.
She made her point and was ignored by the medical professional.
Yeah. And then it's just kind of there, and it's just like, oh, it's Mad. And then what? I kind of, I wasn't that emotional at the time. I was obviously, I was emotional, but I wasn't kind of crying.
Yeah.
And then what, but then we kind of got in the lift to go back up to the ward. And I was like, he's just been in his first lift. And for some reason, that really kind of tipped me over the oh, God. He thought the world was that one room. Now he's coming to this, and there's another floor to it. It just must be like...
Yeah. And if he enjoyed lifts, there's going to be in Dale Lester in about 6 months where he's going to absolutely love it, mate.
But I just remember that being like a bit of a, oh, this is all he knew was this little room.
Yeah.
Now he's in.
Were you stoned at this point?
And it was one of them lifts, you know, where you go in like one side, but then it opens up the other side.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, this is...
Even I get a bit impressed by them, and yeah. I've been in a couple.
That's class, anyway, that happened.
But in many ways, that's wasted on him, because he's not been given the original normal lifts to make that kind of lift excited. Yeah. He's the only person that thinks that's what
this
a lift is.
Next generation's had it too easy. Double lift door.
On a plane.
Even as an adult, you go, oh, we're turning around, I think. Oh, here we go.
And then you're just on the ward then, and it's just like... Yes, but then I remember, you know, they come on doing the tests. The hearing and all that.
The hearing one, yeah.
Just being like dead proud that he'd passed the, done these tests. And you know what I mean? I remember thinking, oh, he's done his little.
Because on that, you've played 50 times for England in the partially sighted football team, is that right?
Yeah, that's right, Josh.
You're an international footballer. How partially sighted are you? What percentage of sighted have you got?
So now I think I've got about 15% to say I've got now, which doesn't feel that low to me because I've lived it with it for, you know.
So you've got 15% sight?
Yeah, so like, if I'm having an eye test.
What's that, 15% top bins?
Oh, yeah.
Is that okay? Is that allowed, Josh?
Yeah.
All right.
Another 85% wide.
So only 15%, that's, but yeah, you've always had that. It hasn't deteriorated over time. It's been solid
got,
at that.
I've kind of had it as a kid and it's kind of got worse as kind of early 20s. Right. And like, we had a really nice moment actually when he was first born. I was kind of taking him into his nursery and kind of, I was like holding him and like the moon was coming onto his face and I was like, oh, this is amazing. Kind of you feel at one with kind of the earth and all this stuff. And I was telling my wife and the next day it happened again. And I was like, oh, come in and see what I mean. And it turned out that it wasn't the moon. It was actually the neighbour's security light shining in. It's coming right onto me. She's like, oh, you know, that's the light from next door, don't you? I was like, ah, it's still nice.
It's still nice. You've ruined that for me. Yeah.
And so does it affect parenting much? So,
not, I can do it. So it's really nice, actually, talking about the swimming. So there's something he can see better than me already, which is mad.
Really? Yeah. Wow.
He can do stuff better. So like at the swim, they'll throw like a blue like toy in and you have to go and swim and find the toy like and bring it back to the side. And the instructor will chuck it in. And I'm thinking, where the fuck's that gone? And like he'll spot it and kind of like reach and I'll kind of take him over to it. And if my wife holds him and I'm walking towards him, like he can obviously see me before I can see him. And he kind of gets excited and starts kicking. And
oh,
that's nice.
It's quite nice, really, yeah. And I've obviously reading books to him in a couple of years, I might just have to kind of just ad-lib a bit. Wiping his, when I'm doing his bum, I kind of get so close. It's like somebody inspecting diamonds. I'm getting so close to it.
Well, yeah, and you must have worried a little bit, Josh, then about like, you know, say if it's got slightly worse in your 20s, that like, you know, if I don't have a kid soon, like, you know, you've got to see your child and stuff like that. Well, you must have been at the back of your mind, that kind of worry.
So I knew that the point is that now it won't get any worse. Like the bit of my eye that's going to deteriorate has deteriorated and this is what I've got. So, so he won't have it either. It kind of passes to the girls who can then... So the girls carry and the boys have it. So there's a couple of dads in England. So our captain is retired now. He's got two kids and they're just used to like walking places with him. So obviously he can't drive them or
yeah.
You know, they're just used to, they just fill in the blanks for you. You know, if you watch it, same as, you know, my wife does, if we're watching TV, she'll fill something in or she'll read a subtitle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But sometimes she'll get it wrong. And it just throw the whole context out of the whole film. I'm like, tell me exactly, don't like abbreviate anything or summarise anything. Read what is exactly on the...
I can't be bothered to read the full subtitle.
She just like shorthand it. And I'm like, has he definitely said that?
Because it doesn't feel like something that character would say, actually.
We watched something and it was set in... she read it as Northumberland, but it was set in North Hungary. The whole series, I'm like, none of this makes sense.
No one's got to draw the accent.
Yeah, it was... I kind of sussed out what you'd done and I was like, I think I'll switch it up. Jermaine, come on, give me a chance, man.
So did you watch a thing that was all subtitles and she's doing the whole thing?
So this is like...
Flashes up at the start, Northumberland 1847 or whatever.
She wouldn't do that. She wouldn't do like a whole subtitle. At the start, she might have done.
Yeah.
But now she's like, nah, get the audiobook, mate.
Yeah, either learn a language or stick with English films, mate.
Yeah, that's it.
No chance she's doing City of God, all of it, unless she gets fluent in Portuguese. Just read it out.
That's it.
Is there anything you're like, feel like you worry that you won't be able to do or it would affect or anything? Or
I can find a way with most things. Sometimes, like, so when we went on holiday, actually, like pushing him in the pram somewhere I'm not familiar with, I was a bit like, whoa. There will be, I'm sure there'll be things I haven't even thought of, which would come. His clothes are well hard for me.
Oh, are they?
Clothes, yeah.
Everything's white and neutral, or sizes. I can't see the size of my clothes. I kind of, as best I kind of put them in order in the, but also my wife isn't massively tidy, so that'll get messed up and it's like, ah. But yeah, you just have to get stuck in. And eventually, then he'll be able to talk and do it. Help me, you just got to do it like that, I suppose.
And I've got to ask, have you ever used it just to get out of something with the baby? Gone, do you know what? The clothes are very difficult.
The clothes I've done, or like, you know, if there's like a button on something, you just can't get the button. Like, button. For some reason, you just get like a press stud, which for some reason just doesn't want to do it.
Yeah.
I'll go off then. But the worst thing I've ever done with my eyes, I was speaking about this earlier, I was about 11, and I started to become aware that there was something going on with me, and the teachers kind of knew. And we had like this outside sports people coming in. So like, we had like a little football tournament, and it was kind of, I kind of had somebody coming in and looking at my eyes and all this stuff. We're 1-0 down on my team, and I just go into the penalty area and I just drop to the floor holding both eyes. I get a penalty, get up, take the penalty, score 1-1, just run off. That was the first time I realised, you can actually use this. People just, I could not believe they went for it.
You just went, they hurt my eyes.
Yeah, I just kind of went down holding both eyes.
Because if you've got a kid in your class at school playing football who's got, you know, an eyesight issue and he just goes down holding, you're going to give a pen, aren't you? No question.
Because these kind of people come in and the concept of Josh is, you know, he's, beware, you know, if you talk to him, he's you might need to get his attention because he won't know if you're looking at him, blah, 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 blah. So if I then go down, hands over both eyes, riding, you're going to give it, ain't you?
Yeah, and especially when you score the penalty, you'll be like, that's quite a swift recovery, actually.
I think by the third or fourth time, you'll be like, okay, now that's...
Yeah, he's got his hat trick. Let's stop calling for a pen.
Yeah.
Did you find, so you've been there doing that for 10 years, the partially started football team, played for England and World Championships. Did that help? Because obviously it's a tough thing to go through with your eyesight because, especially when you're young, as a teenager, everything's an issue, isn't it? Where what you're wearing, what you look like, whatever. But then if you've got something else on top of that, did you find it helped playing with other people going through the same thing?
Yeah, you're kind of going a real journey, actually. So like when you're a kid, you just kind of, like I did everything. I did like boxing, rugby, football. I just kind of, it didn't occur to me that I wouldn't be able to do that stuff.
Yeah.
But then as you get older, you're like, oh, this is actually, I'm actually at a real, real disadvantage here.
Especially in boxing.
Yeah. But I was like, it didn't, because I kind of was so used to it and was quite a sporty kid. I could kind of get by a bit. And then you kind of, early 20s, and you kind of learn that actually girls might not be into you if they know about this, or employers might look at you differently. So you get so used to hiding it, and then you get to like my age now and you're thinking, well, this fuck is what I've got. Do you know what I mean? You've got to put it out there, and you've got to be, and just people are so helpful actually, and you've just got to start presenting it in the right way. But when you grow up on like a bloody council estate with such a big disadvantage. You kind of have to be a bit careful, you know. It's,
yeah.
You have to have something about you to know when to use it. And
yeah. So you are you talking to girls going, can I cover this up for the first couple of months of the relationship?
Yeah, totally. I'd be like, oh, you ignored me. You ignored me the other day. And I was like, So I was drunk. Or, you know, just kind of this thing comes like a player. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'd speak to them one day and then I've just walked past them the next day. But that's definitely a thing, you know. Like, oh, you know, she's, you know, they're really attractive. Or they'd be like, no, that's like a really old woman. I used to have a problem with, like, you know, those like bleach blonde bobs was a thing, like a fashion thing.
Yeah.
And I'd be thinking, oh, you know, but it was always, it turned out to be like an old woman.
It's Peggy Mitchell.
Yeah.
Does it affect you when you're doing stand-up, Josh? Can you see the crowd, or is it just so bright and light because of the stage lights? Can you talk to the audience in that way?
A little bit. I had a couple of things where I've kind of chatted to, like, I thought I was, you're a couple, and it's just like one overweight person.
Oh no!
Oh god!
I would never attempt someone's gender or anything like that. Or do you know what I mean? I just kind of, I can get chatting to somebody, or if somebody's chatting to somebody previously, and I kind of can suss out where that person is.
Yeah.
Chat but you know yourself, beyond the first row or so, you can't.
Yeah. It's just the lights are so bright. Anyway, Josh, I think, and also I think this is so important. You're talking about this kind of thing because there'll be other kids growing up in, you know, similar backgrounds and areas that think, oh fucking hell, this is going to be hard work. But you can really show that you can, like, you know, follow your dream in two ways. You've played for England at a World Cup, but also now you're one of the best new comics on the scene, and you're smashing it. You've got a lovely little baby, so it's really impressive.
It's a gift in some ways. It is.
Bet you didn't think that when you were walking around hour 8 of Leicester. I'm smashing life.
Yeah, my fourth journey in the lift from the bottom of the car park into the top floor of the mezzanine.
You know, because, you know, when vision's a bit of an issue, up and down's fine, isn't it, in a box? You can't get in trouble in a lift.
Yeah, that's it.
You don't want to be getting escalator, do you, with a buggy?
Well, that's the other thing. I'm just bashing buttons in there as well. Who knows? Doors opening and closing.
Exactly. Well, that's life, isn't it? Who knows where you're going to end up? But you're smashing it, Josh. One last question, though, Josh, is what is the one thing that annoys you about your partner, parenting-wise? That's what we always ask. Is there one thing she does with a baby that does your head in a bit?
So she keeps... he's got a very particular dress sense for a six-month-old baby.
Okay.
He's kind of... It's kind of a frilly outfit with knee-high socks, which is, you know, it's nice. But he does look like some kind of, like a Swedish schoolgirl on some of them. These can't be all the pictures he's got to look back on. Do you know what I mean? One or two,
yeah.
So why has she done that?
It's just obviously just what she likes. It's just like he really looks lovely, do you know what I mean? But it's kind of like, let's mix it up a bit. Let's put him in a tracksuit now and again, or something with lots of marble stuff on it. Not everything's got to be adorned with some press studs.
Josh, you've been absolutely amazing. Thank you so much,
Thanks
mate.
Thanks so much, mate. What's the Edinburgh show called?
Yeah, what's your show?
It's called Sausage, Egg, Josh Pugh, Chips and Beans.
And what time?
2:10 at Monkey Barrel.
Oh, lovely.
2:10, Monkey Barrel. So what's it called? Sausage?
Egg. Josh Pugh, Chips and Beans.
Like it. Brilliant. And hopefully touring it after Edinburgh, if things go well.
Yeah, that's the plan, mate, yeah.
Yeah. Well, follow Josh Pugh. What's your Instagram, Josh? Give it a shout out.
At Josh Pugh Comic.
Perfect. All right, wicked. Well, give Josh a follow. Go and see him live. You can thank us when you saw him in Monkey Bar at 2:10 and you're not paying £25 to go and see him at the Hackney Empire or the Birmingham Hippodrome and places like that. Cheers, mate. Bye.
Yeah, wicked. Cheers, both. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Josh Pugh.
There
love
we
Josh Pugh.
Yeah,
I've never met him properly, but everyone's spoken highly of him.
He's a really nice bloke. He's really
funny.
You
know he's good.
Yeah. Go and see him in Edinburgh, 2:10 at the Monkey Barrel.
Bless him, six-month-old baby off to Edinburgh. I remember those days.
Oh,
it's tough. He's brilliant, and
intense.
He's going to have a great career and stuff going on, but at the moment for him, he must be absolutely hammered. He did that in his lunch break from a writing job. So he's really grafting. So go and support him. Give him a follow. If everyone that listens to this gives him a follow on Instagram, that'll give him a massive boost and he can sell loads of tour tickets.
Chabix has gone to number one after David Earl was on it. Are we claiming that?
We claiming that? Yeah, well, we can claim that. But it's quite funny, actually, their whole thing, because they're so, like, It's quite a ramshackled show that's on every day. Their whole thing was one day we'll be number one, and then they got to number one in the charts. So I don't know where they go from here.
No, that's it. They should just quit, shouldn't they?
They should quit now. Just mic drop and out. Anyway, that was Josh Pugh. We'll be back on Tuesday with another chat episode. Oh, the chat episode will be the Ibiza and Glasgow roundup.
Oh, yeah. And we recorded it, and it is worth listening to.
Yeah, what a sell. Thanks, Josh. It's worth listening to. Right, see you on Tuesday. Bye.
Bye.